Welcome to Chats for You. I'm James Walker, and this is the podcast where I try and talk to people I like, and they sometimes let me. Great premise, right? Great premise for a podcast. I'm a fan of it, certainly. In this episode, episode 54, I speak to Michael Legg for the second time. It's our second chat, and it's probably one of my favourite episodes to record, this one. But firstly, before we get into that, I have got some big news. Some huge news. I got a new hat. Big news. I went to see the Divine Comedy last night. My favourite band in the world. It was a very nice time. And yeah, I picked myself up a bobble hat. Now, I don't think I've ever owned a bobble hat before. I'm a first-time bobble hat owner. And if you're listening to this podcast for the very first time, and you're thinking, is this the usual sort of shite he comes out with at the start? Yes it is. But yeah, the reason I got a new hat, because you have to have a reason, you can't just buy a hat, it's because I lost my other hat last week, and I did try to get it back via a social media campaign, and by that I mean I did a tweet about it, which I think that's a campaign. I tweeted out, lost my hat in Glasgow last night. Could everyone there keep a lookout for a hat? Thanks so much. Hashtag hat. Because if I found a hat, the first thing I'd do is search Twitter for tweets hashtagged with hat. So I thought that might work, but nothing came of that, sadly. If you do end up finding it in Glasgow, I don't mind. You can keep it. I've got my bobble hat now. I'm a bobble boy now, which is a new contender for the coolest sentence ever said there. I am a bobble boy now. This is my second time talking to Michael for the podcast, as I mentioned. He was last on it way back on episode 2, which is many, many years ago, when I was pretty sure, like, I didn't have any idea what I was doing. Hey, mate, you still have no idea what you're doing. You don't know it. Oh, you're not good at this. Oh, that was a mean heckle from me doing a voice. Oh. Shut up, me doing a voice, sit down. But so I didn't have any idea what I was doing back then, but I'm clearly nailing it now. So yeah, I find it way too cringy listening back to that previous episode. So I've no idea in the previous one what we actually talked about. I'm pretty certain this one we just recorded is not an exact copy of that chat. But if it is, that'd be disappointing, because you've already heard that one if you have listened to that, but mainly impressive. Here is my chat with Michael Legg, second chat, the second time. So Michael, just to double check, is there any requirements that you'd like to be met before this chat, like a ride or a gig or something like that? What could make this the perfect chat for you?
Well, here's the thing, I'm now such a cheap date as far as a rider goes, because I'm not drinking alcohol at the moment. This is the most boring thing that's ever happened to anyone. So just a big bag of nothing backstage would be fine for me, because I'm vegan. So it's so complicated to say to like anyone, like, I'm vegan, can you get a vegan thing? Because then they have a look in their face like, well, what is that? And then I can't be bothered to explain. So no, do you know what? I want nothing. Because we're better off having nothing from my rider. But thank you for the offer.
No, you're very welcome. I'm also vegan, so I probably could have brought some stuff.
Well, then you would be the rare exception to the... Yeah. What is that? Is donkey vegan? Yeah, you just have to go through all this.
So I've got some naked bars in my bag, though.
All right. Well, I don't want any. I'm totally well-fed today. Okay, so, cool. You know, I'm...
Just double-checking.
Thanks, man.
Really ready for a chat. So I'm just going to quickly tell you about what happened to me last night. Okay, so last night...
Brilliant,
okay,
this is why we're here.
This is why we're here, okay?
Right.
So I was walking home, standard, and a man got out of his car and he handed me his phone and he went...
Oh God, it's
please,
the Kevin Spacey.
You talk to them. And I was like, very confused. I was like,
fuck,
what's happening here? What? Any guesses as to what was happening?
Well, it was a complete stranger.
It was a stranger who came out of his car and handed me
And he said, you speak to them.
Yes.
Right. Like, it could be a time travel thing. I'm guessing it wasn't. Right. I'm assuming the person on the other end of the phone spoke English and the person who handed you the phone didn't. Speak fluent English.
That's fair, right? Yes.
And someone needed some help?
Yes. What kind of help?
Ambulancy help?
No, it wasn't that serious.
Romantic help.
Oh, no, not romantic help either.
God, our relationship's so fucked up. So the communication is terrible. Okay? Oh, just hand a phone to some passerby.
Hello.
I don't know. What could the help have been? What?
Well, do you want to know what it is now?
Yeah, of course yeah, you do.
I was going to tell you.
I don't want to play a fucking game. This is. You know, this is not how Ustinov tells a fucking story, mate. By going, go on, guess. No. Okay. I want to fucking know.
So, it was a delivery driver that was lost.
Right.
And needed assistance to find where he was going.
Okay.
So I needed to speak to the people that had ordered the food on the phone to help him out.
Okay.
And I believe, I didn't get to the final conclusion, but I worked out where he went wrong and I pointed in the right direction.
Right.
So I think I sorted it out.
Cool.
But questions based, I've got an option of two questions.
Uh-huh.
You can answer both or you can answer the one of them.
Do you know what? I'm really sorry to interrupt you. I've just realised I did that in Paris a few weeks ago.
Oh,
I was so completely lost. And I couldn't figure out where I was going.
Yeah.
And someone was giving me directions. But I was trying to speak to the hotel at the same time, and she just, this complete stranger just went, just give me the phone. And then she spoke in French to the hotel, putting, ah, yeah, he's a fucking idiot, but in French. And then passed it back to me and just go, don't worry, they've ordered you a taxi. I went, thank you very much, I'm an idiot. I'm lost in France. Well done, foreigners and mobile phones.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
It's all right. So, when was a memorable time that you entered a situation without a clue what was about to happen? Like I had there, because there was a moment there, I was like, what's about to happen here? Or, because that question is quite tricky, a much easier kind of cop-out question for me, do you think you'd make a good secret agent? Because I thought I'd be a secret agent in that moment.
Right. Would I make... the thing is, I would never make a good secret agent because, although I'm really good at keeping a secret about other people, I can't keep a secret about myself at all. Like, if something happens to me, I have to open my mouth and tell people. So, being a spy, even though, you know, I'd have to keep secrets about the state...
Yes.
I'd be part of that, so I'd be like, guess what? Because I'm a spy. And also, but I suppose in many ways, that's actually a good thing. Because anyone would look at me and go, he's not a fucking spy. And me saying I am a spy makes it doubly obvious I'm not a spy.
Yeah.
So maybe I am a spy.
Oh. Yep.
Off to you, readers. Now, I have gone into a situation which I didn't know what was happening. Yeah. And it was freaking phenomenal. I was in a Singapore Zoo, right?
Okay.
And they have a thing called the night zoo.
Okay.
They have a day zoo and they have a night zoo.
Oh, it's freaking amazing. 24 hour.
Well, the 12 hour.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So they went to the night zoo and they have like a real hippie attitude to their zoo. Like, oh, animals can just run around. The fucking animals just run around. Coyotes, they don't run around, but they have like these, they don't have cages. They have sort of mental blocks. Like it's an open space. Once they figure out that a plastic tree lying on its side can easily be jumped over, then they'll jump over it and kill us all. But at the moment, they're like, oh, that's the end of our world because we can't... But honestly, once they figure it out, we're doomed.
Yeah.
So I was walking around looking at coyotes and stuff, and then I walked around a little trail and I came to a gate. Like it was a fence and with a gate right in the middle of it. And the sign on the gate said, luckily in English, I didn't have to get my mobile phone out and go, what the fuck is this now, guys? So it said, make sure you close the gate as soon as you go through, dickheads, right? That's what it said in English. And I did that. I just went, all right, so, you know, for whatever reason, maybe, oh, it's all sectioned off just in case coyotes do get out. It'll only eat 100 people rather than, you know, 200 people. So I went out and I closed the gate. And as I walked further into it, I realised I wasn't just on the other end of the fence. I was actually inside a cage, and it was full of bats. And I just walked through 1,000 bats. And it was freaking brilliant. Oh, I mean, God. It was absolutely terrifying, but once it happened, it was so scary. It was like, I don't mind if this is how I die. Yeah. It's so utterly...
Isn't
amazing.
That sort of like Batman as well, though? So
yeah,
sort of
and then I became Batman.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The great thing is, what my Batman is, he's a lot more grounded and secure. My parents are still alive. And I don't have a chip on my shoulder. I'm a much nicer Batman. Yeah. I want this to be taken through the courts! That's me.
Nice Batman. Yeah, the adventure
really,
of nice
really
Batman.
Nice Batman.
Yeah.
Don't scare people, don't dress up. I'm really chilled.
Yeah. Okay, just... got to stop thinking about more scenarios for nice Batman. That's all that's running through my head.
Faults on both sides! Old Batman.
Do you want a cup of tea? That'd be an episode.
That'd be lovely, wouldn't it? Lovely. Yeah.
Batman do tea. Okay, cool.
Sit down and talk about it. You, hug it out.
Yeah. So, Michael, when was the last time you seen what you were doing, a situation in your life, and thought, I am a silly boy?
Like... well, God, fucking every waking moment of the day. I've recently... listen, I'm slightly obsessed with this, and to the point where I don't want to talk about it, because I want to write about this thing very soon. But it was the last time that I made an idiot of myself. It was quite recently. I went to see the film, you know, The Party?
Is that Amy Poehler and... oh, no, that's The
no,
House.
No, no,
oh,
no, no. Yeah, it, yeah. It is very much... it is a British film, although there's some non-British people in it. Americans, I believe. And it's clearly made by someone who's got a boner for Pinter. And okay. Which is fine. I mean, who doesn't have a boner for Pinter? It got rave reviews. And I went to see it because of the rave reviews, and it was alright. I mean, it's... I don't know, it was one of those things where, well... Pinter, though, isn't it? We've got Pinter. Why have we got this now? So, but I left. It's basically about a whole bunch of people getting together for a party, and they're all cunts. That is the plot.
Okay, cool.
So,
is that how they sold it? Do you think?
Yeah, yeah. On the poster, yeah, yeah. Just went. They're all cunts. afterwards, I walked out fairly disappointed, and I went to the bus stop, and there were other people at the bus stop who clearly had. come from the movie as well, and one of them was this incredibly posh man who sort of like stood away from the bus queue and then turned to face the entire queue and just went in this voice, "So did you all go to see The Party?" Like that level and that tone. It was like, well, I'm not answering because this guy's a fucking arsehole. One, live in London, so we don't ever talk to anyone. And two, we definitely don't step away to hold court. And we don't speak to anyone in that voice. So anyway, there was that. And then all these people, because they're more polite than me, just went, oh, yeah, yeah, you're good. It was interesting, wasn't it? I thought it was very much based on Sartre's Hell as Other People. And then I just fucking snapped. I went, is that what you honestly think? Then why are you talking to us? Because if you say to any complete stranger, I think that was based on Hell as Other People, that means you have no idea of the concept of Hell as Other People, because you are hell. You are other people, and now you're pushing on us, you dickhead. And that's what I said in real life. I lost it. Just the idea of being such a pretentious twat that you wanted to quote something that you don't fucking understand. And also, we just saw the film. Do you think we don't know what fucking Sartre's fucking Hell as Other People is? Clearly, it was a fucking an hour and 20 minutes of it, you dickhead. Also, I mean, children fucking know what Sartre's Hell as Other People... anyway, so I got very upset. And I think instead of the man going, well, I've been belittled, the rest of the bus queue went, God, that poor man's mentally ill. And then sided... with so right. I became the other people.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Do you think maybe it would have went the other way if you were weren't as loud and maybe just?
Oh, maybe, yeah, maybe, yeah, yeah, maybe. Yeah. Another, yeah, you're right. There probably was the subconscious. I'm gonna out loud this loud prick. Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. And also, wow. I think I got angry because I couldn't think of any other like you know, sort of philosophical work that I could quote. You know, because that's it, isn't it? It's a bit like when you meet someone that knows fuck all about science and they just bang on about some cat in a box. I'm like, well, that's all you've got, and now that's all I've got. So yeah. Now you've done the one thing.
Just yelling about a cat in
a box. Yeah, God, catty box science boy. Yeah.
So, Michael, if someone if I were to become you, okay, steal your identity, what would you say are the three things I'd have to get right? In other words, what makes Michael Legg, Michael Legg?
It's interesting that, I mean, only to me. It's not interesting to anyone else. Definitely have to get, well, I'm very particular, aren't I?
Right.
I'm not, you would have to not, you couldn't take things on the chin. You couldn't sort of like, oh look, people are being, being antisocial. Well, let's let bygones be bygones. You would have to go and get involved. So, I don't know if... are you up for that?
Doesn't sound like me, but if you give me some tips on, like, what's a good way to do it, or, like, ways...
Oh, there's no good way of doing it. There isn't a good way of doing it. There's only an awkward and embarrassing way of doing it. There's only, in many ways, the only way that I think that you can deal with antisocial behaviour is by being so antisocial that you actually socialise these people back into society.
Okay.
You know, so... in many ways, I'm doing a great service. I'm actually a bit of a hero. Like Batman.
Yeah. Well, could it maybe be like a thing where like you're training me up? And then like, so I could see you do it a few times.
Right.
And if you think I've got the confidence that I could step in.
I think if you saw me do it a few times, you would either never go anywhere near me again, or more than likely want to help me rather than want to be me.
Right, okay.
It's... you would...
this is if I was like the nice Robin to your nice Batman.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I think you just sort of like put your hood up and put your head down and hope. Yeah, it'll be over
probably.
Quite soon.
Yep.
Yeah,
sounds like me.
Yeah. Well, oh no, I'm not saying it sounds like you. I'm saying it sounds like anyone who'd be in my.
Oh no, I'm saying it sounds like.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you'd have to. You'd probably have to do a lot of arguing online every day, but. But even I know that's ridiculous and pointless. So when you're doing it, know fully well that what you're doing is completely of no value and is utterly fruitless, even to you. So just think of it as you throwing time away before you dive into the grave. That's how I look at it. Yeah. There's more time just wasted. So waste time.
Yeah.
Get involved. Hey, people, get involved. But in other people's business... just read some nice books.
Oh, yeah. Any recommendations for nice books? Is it off the top of your head?
Confederacy of Dunce is pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. It's quite a few good Batman books.
Oh, yep.
Hush is good. You should read that.
Would you consider writing some nice Batmans?
I think that sounds like a brilliant idea, and I think I'd be really, really good at it. Yeah. I mean, like... It's Batman's a great example of like probably sliding doors or turning a different corner, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, you know, like if he wasn't a whiny little prick and they left the opera early, you know, his parents would still be alive. We know that.
Yeah.
Because that guy wasn't hanging around, was he? Well, that's the end of that, right? that's just terrible timing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So if he had just sort of been able to. I mean, I sort of say it from his point of view, opera is quite boring.
Yeah.
I've only been to, I've been to two operas, and I've been lucky with both of them. I went out with someone in the 90s who was an opera singer.
Mm-hmm.
And although that's obviously incredibly impressive, the downside is I might have to go and see an opera.
Yeah.
And I did. And
you probably knew that going into it.
I mean, it was a terrible fear. And she said, look, I've got tickets for the opera. And I went, I've got an ulcer. And I went to the opera, and I think it was one of the kindest things that she did. She went, I want this to be your first opera, and it was Orpheus and Eurydice, and it was an hour long. So, oh, lovely.
Yeah.
An hour? Oh, I can stand that for an hour. And I nearly could. You know, I didn't walk out. But what was the question? The question was, would I write? Because I think you could rewrite. I mean... DC Comics, well, all comic books, they rewrite their heroes' histories all the time. And I think that would be a brilliant one if you just stayed there but sort of had a sense of justice just like normal people would.
Yeah.
And plus, he had the support of loving parents his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it'd be really, really good comic book.
Maybe just tell the Penguin that he looks nice now and again. Yeah. People keep commenting on his nose and
mate,
stuff.
Like, mate, I'm angry too.
Yeah.
I'm angry too.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be lovely.
Yeah, really would be lovely.
So, in the past, pre-gig, if you've been feeling nervous and you're getting into your own headspace, in that moment, whose headspace would you have rather been in? Like a famous figure's headspace who you admire their confidence and the way they hold themselves?
Wow, that's good. Well, in my head, that I want to be Iggy Pop, but I sometimes go, like, what would Iggy Pop do if he was doing stand-up? Right? How can I sort of like get into that physical, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But then I just walk up on stage and I realise I'm a physical wreck and I can't possibly do what he does. So, in fact, if anything, that shoves me more into my headspace.
Right.
So that's the last place I want to be. It'd be brilliant to have the confidence of Michael McIntyre. I bet he's not as confident as he seems.
Have you ever been backstage with him at gigs?
Yeah. And do you know what? This is an exclusive. I don't know if you and all the other listeners want to write this down. It's quite nice.
Yeah.
But he's a quite nice man. I think he's rubbed some people up the wrong way, but I mean, who hasn't? Yeah. And I think he's a really nice. I think he's a really, really, really good comedian. He's not for me. He doesn't necessarily make me laugh, but I think what he does is absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I wish that I could go on stage and bounce around and be that cheery and happy and you know, have everyone love me. But you know, he seems to have nailed it. Yeah, I want to be as confident as him.
Yeah.
Or Kate Bush. And, you know, only do a gig once every 35 years.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, what events they would be.
Massive ones.
Massive events. Put your phone away. Nah, take it out. I don't care. I haven't got that fucking stick up my nose. Kate Bush does. Yeah.
So would it be, could you have like a combination of like Kate Bush and Iggy Pop and Michael McIntyre trying to be all them?
I think I am the three of them. I'm like Iggy Pop. Well, I'm like Michael McIntyre as much as I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm like Kate Bush. I've got pretensions of drama. Like, I no matter what, you know, I like to put myself into dramatic situations so that I hope I get material out of it. So it's a bit like Kate Bush. And I'm exactly like Iggy Pop. In as much as I'm a lot older than I once was, I don't drink anymore. I'm on a lot of pills for my health, and it's completely true. And I spend most of the day with my top off. So, you know, I am all three.
I'll say this bit for a quote that you can put on posters.
Yeah.
Michael Legg, the Kate Bush, Iggy Pop, and other Michael McIntyre of comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can have that.
That'd be lovely.
Yeah. Maybe get someone more famous than me to say it, and then it look better, but...
Yeah, all right. Well, if I could get like one of those three to say it, or all three of them to say it, that'd be great. All three of them had realised that that's what I am.
Yeah. When they're in someone's dream dinner party, they're all hanging out.
If I walked into the room and all three of them were there and they just looked at me and went, oh, fuck, I thought we just walked in. And we had. Yeah, then that'd be great.
So I'm going to ask you to craft your perfect fan, okay?
Right.
So this is going to be... It's just basically a Michael Legg uniform that all of your fans could wear when they come to see you. What would you like that to be?
I mean, thing is, I haven't changed the way I dress ever. Like, like from a little child, those clothes. That's fine. So there's been no difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's always t-shirt and jeans and that.
Yeah. But like if it was like regimented and you could tell your fans,
you've got
to wear this.
I would. Oh, do you not be nice? Like a proper American hotel bellboy. You know, with the little jaunty box hat.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'd love that. And the sort of really... They'd have to have that walk as well. That walk would have to be part of the uniform. That sort of like hurried, weird, almost like their body's moving faster than their feet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so like basically on the way in, they have to do the walk for someone.
And the next day,
you're getting in, or like, no.
Yeah.
No, I'm afraid. Even though they're sat down during it.
And you know how fans of a certain person or thing, whatever, when they see one another because they recognise the uniform or like, you know, VW Beetle drivers when they pass, they honk. Like, If they're a true Michael Legg fan, if the way the Patriots go, fuck you, just really belittling of one another. Just go, God, you look disgusting. So yeah. That they feel how I feel at all times, really sort of like, you know, insecure. And
it's always the thing, isn't it? Like, you shouldn't wear, like, a band t-shirt at the show that you're seeing that band for.
Yeah.
But, like, it'd be different at your gig, but then you could have people wearing, like, the bellboy outfit out and about at other gigs.
I mean,
like,
yeah. Although, God, now that you say it, I mean, if I was to ever be able to command a sizable audience, it'd be brilliant if they were all wearing t-shirts of different comedians. or the same comedian, just all wearing Russell Howard t-shirts and Russell Howard face masks.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. But so if you are listening to this, and you're not... you're not. Just stop listening to it right now, okay? You've got other things to do with your life. Let's get on with
it. I'd like it if you keep listening, please. That's all I've got.
Well, you know... If you are listening to this, then do come to my gig with a Russell Howard shirt and mask on, and that'll prove to me that, you know, you care.
We're going to chat a bit about merchandise now.
Are we?
Okay. Is that fine?
Yeah, fine. Yeah,
okay, cool.
Fine.
Yeah, you're cool with that?
Yeah. Can't wait.
If there were to be a Michael Legg action figure,
brilliant.
What would its look be? Like, the clothes you think you wear the most, so it's always going to be on this action figure. Maybe discuss that a wee bit already. And who would your arch nemesis be in this world? So, like, an Action Man versus Mr. X sort of thing.
Right.
Someone can get the toy of your arch nemesis, and you can put them up against each other.
All right, okay. Well, I mean, I think the features that I would like with my action figure would be like, you won't remember this, you're very young, but I remember when the action figure of Steve Austin, this $6 million man...
Where you look through the back of the head.
Yeah, you look out through... So if I go for that, but so there's a little hole in the back of the head, but the eye part will have blotches on it, so it's got cataracts. So you will see a cataract. You will definitely see a very, very Michael Legg view of the world. Very cataract. Or perhaps when you look through it, it's just pictures of horror, just flames and children screaming inside my head. Yeah, that'd be good. So I'd want that feature.
Yeah. And then you can have other features if you want, like pull a string and then you say something.
Pull a string It just says one thing. Goes, I don't do voiceovers for less than £1,000 per day. There you go. And that is it. It just says that.
And then so your nemesis.
Or, no, even better.
Oh, yeah.
I'm about to get to my nemesis. Cool. If you pull the string, the only thing it says is, and then Robin Ince's voice comes over and just talks all over it. That would be perfect. Then it's a very authentic Michael Legg action figure.
Is he the nemesis?
Then. Yeah, and he is my nemesis. His dog will have a pulled string, but obviously it'll just break off and it'll just constantly talk and never shut the fuck up, no matter how much you drown it.
Is there another nemesis, or is he going
to
be?
I mean, he's as close to a nemesis as I've got. I mean, there's definitely people that I don't like, but I don't care about them.
Yeah.
Whereas Rob and I love dearly, but he is absolutely my nemesis. Yeah. You know, I mean, I look up to him and admire him and want to push him in front of a bus in absolutely equal measure. Yeah.
So, like, let's say these action figures were turned into a film.
Yeah.
It's the final scene, you and Robin facing off. How would that go down? Like?
Well, it would just be... it'd be actual... the most pathetic punching fight ever. Then it would turn into just a little bit of lovemaking. And then eventually I'd just smash his face in with a big concrete block. And then... and that would be the beginning of the movie. And then the rest of the movie is me dancing around his grave. And while burning books. That's what I do.
I was going to ask for an exclusive Michael Legg moment that's never been done on the podcast, but I feel like you might have already got a few.
Yeah, well, it's kind of, you're swamped with exclusives.
Yeah, so swamped. Many exclusives within it.
Swamped.
So this is a section I've never done before, but I'm going to call it Vegan Corner.
Oh, brilliant.
And it's just like a wee section, like imagine like a morning talk show. We go over to the corners, there'll be pleasant music, I'll add it under this, playing underneath us.
I like the idea of it being like This Morning with Richard and Judy, but you know, let's go out to Vegan Corner, and it's like, you know, the map that floated in the docks, but like a potato and a carrot. And you yeah. jump onto the potato if you wanted.
So we're on them right now.
Yeah, there we go.
Little pleasant move for underneath. Nice. So yeah, we're both vegan men. We've covered yeah, that. But so we'll just chat about some nice vegan things.
Oh, brilliant. That sounds good. Well, we're in Edinburgh, which I think Edinburgh and Glasgow are the two best cities in the UK for vegan food. Mm-hmm. And it's such a boring comedy staple to go, oh, bloody hell, what's Scotland and where's the vegetables? I tell you why they are. They're in every fucking restaurant, mate. It's absolutely the best place for food yeah. in the country. It's Scotland. Yeah. It's absolutely hands down.
What are some of your favourites in Edinburgh then?
Well, Henderson's and David Bann, obviously, everyone knows. But Harmonium, which has just opened in Leith over the last few months, it's absolutely
still fantastic. Not tried Harmonium yet.
It's fantastic. Really, really, really great. And I went to Henderson's, where would it be? Really near the bottom of Arthur's Seat.
Oh, yeah, I used to work at Dynamic Earth, and that's right at the bottom there, yeah.
That's relatively new, is it, ish?
Yeah, that's quite. That's
very... And that's great, too, because that sort of does more trashy food, which, you know. I think it's slightly missing, really, from the proper Henderson's.
What I really like there is their vegan doner kebab.
Yeah, there you go. So on a Philly hot dog, whatever that is. It was lovely.
No,
I don't know what it was. Bloody lovely.
Also like Moss Kitchen.
Moss Kitchen's brilliant, yeah.
Nice little cheap option. And then Nova Pizza. I don't know if you've tried Nova Pizza.
I have not tried Nova Pizza.
Nova Pizza is very good. Good. And it's nearby here, so I'll give
you... Speaking of hot dogs, what's it called? It's really great. You know that place. Go there, listeners. Balls United.
Where is it about?
Oh, I fucking don't know.
I'm trying to think.
It's right by, you know, the Pleasance Dome, which isn't called the Pleasance Dome out of season.
Okay, yeah.
And it is Palms.
Palmyra.
No, Palms, something. Paradise Palm Springs. Palms.
Yeah.
Isn't it Paradise Palms?
It's Paradise Palms, yeah.
Yes.
I said Palm Springs and was completely incorrect.
Yeah. But do go to Palm Springs. I mean, that is beautiful. I mean, if you do get the chance, definitely go there.
A lot of vegan food.
Well, I hope so. I don't know if it's got any vegan food, but definitely Paradise Palms in Edinburgh has. And I recommend it heartily.
And what else was it? So, have you, like, finally found out somewhere to get protein from?
Yeah. Okay. Food.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, you know that's bollocks, right? Yeah, I mean, you know that's bollocks, but people don't.
I know,
God, Christ Almighty.
And finally, animals. I'm a big fan.
Freaking love them, mate. absolutely love them. They have an ordered society, even the chaos within the animal community is pretty ordered. They're really nice. They, you know, a lot of them are very, very. Helpful to our life. I don't know what's... I think that is
I don't know who's won all the points.
Right. But hey, vegans are winning. That's who's winning. Animals are freaking brilliant. And, you know, if you have the... if you've got the money and the time to, look after one and have one in your house, I think you should have it.
They're
freaking great.
Thank you for joining us on Vegan Corner, everyone.
Yay!
End of music.
Oh, now we're in fucking Meat Eater's cul-de-sac now. Oh, shit.
We've jumped off the little floor. Carrot. So this section I've called Super Clever Question Reversal. Okay.
Oh, brilliant.
What I've done is taken questions that's usually asked to comedians.
Uh-huh.
And then...
Great.
Just basically, I'm very proud of myself, so imagine me giving myself a pat on the back when I come up with these.
I love it.
Yeah, so first one's pretty easy. What's the nicest heckle you've ever had?
The nicest... I don't know if it's the nicest heckle. It's definitely... Well, I mean... It's not an insult, is it? The heckle was, you fucked my sister. I mean, I hadn't. I don't know who... I don't know... I'm very confident that I have not had... I've not made sweet love to that man's sister. I'm really, really 100% confident of that. But the idea that he thought I was a worthy lover...
Yeah.
Of someone who's his sister, I must assume he admires in some way. You know that he, you know, I think that was really kind.
Yeah. Did any more discussion happen?
No, that was it. That was it. That was pretty much it. It was really early on in my stand-up career, so my witty comebacks took about 7 months.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, I sort of ran out of steam. You know, by the time I wanted to reply to him.
So, Michael, is there anything we can joke about? Because I'm going to compile a list.
Right.
And then send it around all the comedians to say what we can joke about.
What we can joke
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, one of the things that we can't joke about is pretty much everything, right? And comedy's one of the things we definitely can't joke about. My God, if there's one thing comedians cannot stand, which is completely true, is jokes about comedians. What can we joke about? Well, I mean, I quite like joking about the left, even though I am very much a member mm-hmm. of the left. But they're such a weird bunch of argumentative pricks. That I quite like pointing and laughing at them. I mean, if I did a bit of material about how I find the left really funny, and a bunch of, and instead of it getting a laugh, it got, I'd go, oh, now I feel bad about myself, because I don't think they were into it because of the joke. I think they were into it because they think the left are horrible. Then I'd be upset. Then you couldn't joke about that. But fuck it, no, I'm going on record as saying you can joke about the left. Because although I agree with them, I think they're awful.
And finally for the section, how do you think you'll finish in comedy? So if you had to guess like your perfect blaze of glory, how would you go out?
Well, I mean, I would like to... I mean, in every way, I would like to go out in... I don't want to be recognised in my lifetime, okay? That's actually really important to me. I want to die alone in a flat in a attic flat in Paris, with my work around me, but you know, on the internet. And then people will find my blogs in years to come. Why didn't we listen to this guy? This guy's a genius. And then that, you know, that is celebrated way after my death. So. To make sure that happens, to avoid any sort of success, which I think you'll agree, I've done really brilliantly at the moment so far. What I want is, I want to get a teleseries, like a sitcom, that I'm really, really confident about, and the BBC say, I'm really, really confident. Fuck it, it's a co-production with HBO. HBO are piling money into my, we are really, this is fucking brilliant. And I write all 6 episodes, and I'm so cocky and confident about it, and I do my last stand-up gig, and I finish that gig by going, by the way, dickheads, I just got an HBO series, so you won't be seeing me on your fucking shitty little stage again. Fuck the lot of you. And then it'll come out that I looked at a woman's bottom once, right, and had a thought about it. And then I will be shunned. And then I'll have to move to Paris to live in my... I won't be able to go back even to the shitty club. I'll have to... Because I'll have done a Kevin Spacey, quite rightly, my career will be over, that series will be scrapped, and I will be fucking finished, and I will die alone and regretting the mistakes I've made. And then in years to come... Oh, yeah. That's when the genius comes out.
Yeah.
And you said, and that's the great thing about in years to come, people forgive all your past crimes.
Right, yeah.
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 That's true.
Oh, completely true.
So I've got some listener questions now.
Oh.
Or readers or viewers, whatever you want to call them. So I put out this tweet on Twitter.
Ooh.
And then I put out this Facebook on Facebook. I don't know if that's the word.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it.
Yeah. I said, if anyone has any questions for Michael Legg that you'd rather were asked via a bald Scottish chat vessel,
right.
In brackets, that's me, guys, do nice. Say now.
Oh,
yeah. First one, what's your favourite shit Doctor Who story from Andrew?
Oh, favourite shit one? I mean, Black Orc is quite shit.
What happened in that one?
Well, it's sort of an Agatha Christie,
okay.
You know, two-parter. It is quite shit, but I do like it. I mean, I think it's fucking brilliant. There's loads of them are shit. I mean, the bulk of Doctor Who stories are terrible. But there's a load that I like. I mean, the first story, An Earthly Child, well, the first episode is brilliant, but then the story after that is dog shit. I mean, it's just... nonsense.
Well, what is some of the story? Do you remember
it? It's about cavemen warring against one another, and it's cavemen with nice voices. You know, it's oh God, it's everything about it's just terrible. But the very first episode of Doctor Who is absolutely phenomenal, and you can totally see why the franchise went from strength to strength. I like almost everything Tom Baker's done. Oh, do you know what? I like is it Invasion of the Dinosaurs or just the Dinosaurs? I can't remember what it's called now. But I really like it, and it's terrible. It looks like a Chewits advert. It's just so bad. But I really do love it. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. So this next one, I'm afraid the name of a person's going to come up now that you're probably sick of hearing. But what's your favourite Robin Ince story?
Oh, my favourite Robin Ince story.
And this is from Misha, who I think you might know. Misha Angwell.
Yeah, I do know
her. So she might be just trying to wind you up.
She might be. I don't know. My favourite Robin Ince story... there's so many to choose from, isn't there? I think my favourite Robin Ince story is just the amount of times that people ask me what Robin Ince is really like. Like, he's in any way a fictional character.
Right, like, yeah.
I'm afraid what you see is what he's like, and that's Robin.
What are you saying about me?
Every time a bell rings, Robin gets upset about something. That's what he's like. So that is my favourite Robin Ince story, because he's... Yeah. I would love to say he's making that up and he's a character, but no, it's what he's really, really, really like.
And I know,
which of course I'm both horrified and delighted by.
Yeah, and I know we were chatting earlier about how we've already done a podcast about it, and we both can't really remember much about it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to forgetting this one. You as well. It's going to be great in the future.
When I was listening back to it a wee bit, the very first thing I asked, because I thought it was funny, was what's Robin Ince like?
Oh right, there you go. Yay, there you go. That is literally the big question.
And because the two listener questions so far had the word story in them, my mate Mark noticed that theme. What's your favourite story of a tall building?
Of a tall building? Fuck. I don't know. I mean, Rapunzel's shit, isn't it? That's rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah.
How did she think that was going to support a bloke?
Well, I think the way he spelled it is story as in floor of a building.
Oh, see, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I should have made that
clear.
I'm
not good. Isn't that weird? I actually have a fear of stories. And it's not like looking out the window and looking at how high I'm up. I've been in windowless stories and gone, I'm starting to panic because I think, what happens if this building collapses? It's a weird phobia to have. So, there's no such thing. I mean, ground floor is my favourite one. I've been at the National Gallery and gone, I have to get out of here because I fear this building is going to collapse, even though there is absolutely not a trace of of a clue of that.
So Ross wants to know, have you ever considered calling one of your shows one of the following?
Oh, okay. So I probably have.
Arm and a leg.
One of the followings are good. One of the following. Yeah. I mean, I do. I am easily duped. So I think one of the following is a good tone.
Yeah.
There you go. I've got the next show pretty much sorted now. Right. Sorry. What were the titles?
So they're all obviously going to be puns. So,
great.
Arm and a leg.
No, that's terrible.
A leg up.
No, I hate it.
Leg and a wing.
What? A leg in a wing.
A leg and a wing.
A leg and a wing.
I'm not sure about that.
No, I don't get that either. That's not a phrase. A leg and a wing. That's bollocks. So therefore, I'm going to call my show that. Yeah.
And then the final one, Legs 11. I had to Google. That sounded a bit casinos. I didn't know that one.
A casino? I think it's about bingo, mate.
Okay.
Legs 11. Look at you trying to glamorise bingo.
I think it did say casino when I Googled it.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a different thing.
Mm.
I wouldn't slate me too soon.
No.
Okay. Also, I've got ones that people posted on my Facebook that are quite insane and long. Would you like them as well?
Of course.
We'll run through them.
I'm here.
Does he think... this is Fred. He says, does he think someone has to clean all of Riker's Federation man batter out of the holo suite?
Oh, whoa!
Or is it automatic like a futuristic Roomba?
It doesn't make any sense, does it? That room. What's it called?
I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it's the... Whatever that frickin'... I can't believe I've forgotten this. Holotech. The holotech.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. It's weird. I mean, we have to take into consideration that Starfield exists, right? Right. But if you add a holodeck, that's it. Because it won't. Starfleet then won't exist. If
right,
a holodeck
yeah, okay.
Because they're just going to wank. That's all they're... What else are they going to do?
Yeah.
They're going to go... No one's going to go, oh, I think I'm going to win Wimbledon in 1977. You won't. You'll just... You might meet Bjorn Borg, but you'll just be wanking all over him. It's a terrible, terrible invention. And that's a military thing.
Right.
Like, we've given that to the freaking military. Jesus, this world.
Fred again, he's got a few here.
Fred.
What long-running film franchise could benefit from a new sequel set in outer space? He suggests Police Academy, Meet the Fockers. Mm-hmm. Imagine the comical misunderstandings Ben Stiller could find himself on Mars.
Yeah, that's good. I was thinking of Thelma and Louise.
Oh.
It'd be great if they just, you know... drove off the edge of the cliff in the first movie, and then, but they go into a time black hole, and they end up on Jupiter in the
70s. Yeah.
So, you know, Jupiter's this disco planet with absolutely no idea of feminism. Thelma and Louise are there.
Oh, yeah.
Sorting it out.
And
I love it.
Finally from Fred, this seems a bit like, I think it's a vague take on a Richard Herring one. But if the Scooby-Doo gang were made into a human centipede...
Oh, well, oh.
Where in the chain would you prefer to be soon? Sewn. Yes, sewn.
So I have to join the Scooby-Doo gang.
Scooby-Doo gang.
Oh, man. No, well, Fred and Daphne seem the cleanest, right? So Daphne in front.
I mean, that's what I took away from watching Scooby-Doo. They seem the cleanest.
Yeah, Daphne in front. And then Fred behind because he's a prick. Yeah.
Okay.
Although Velma, I mean, I think I've still got a bit of a secret. Not secret,
yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yes, on the
thing
podcast.
About, yeah. Thing about Velma.
No, is this, like, really? This exclusive or not?
Yeah, sure, why not? Yeah, cool. I mean, I don't think I've ever told anyone, so yeah.
And then, so this is from Charles. He's... Oh,
but do we have to sew the rest of them in? Like,
yeah,
I don't mind like sewing Velma and Shaggy in there if I have to. But I'm not dragging an animal into this.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've covered this. I mean, I'm not dragging Scooby, and also he's a dog that can vaguely talk. Surely he's going to be taken up and experimented on enough during his life. You know.
Yeah.
That poor fucker.
No. Shame for Scooby.
Yeah.
So this is from Charles.
Hello, Charles.
He says, I'm afraid that my question is for actor Michael Legg from Angel's Ashes.
Oh, that's fine. I can answer.
Who voices Luke the Engine in Thomas and Friends.
Yes, I almost did. It's true. I did the recording.
All right.
It's honestly the best day of work I've ever had. Mm. And then afterwards, I left so happy.
Yeah.
And an hour later, I got a call and went, oh, there's been a terrible mistake. They met the other Michael Legg.
Oh, my God.
I was
God.
Utterly heartbroken.
That's ridiculous.
Stupid cunts. Anyway, lovely people, though, I have to say. Very lovely people. They were very, very, very kind and understanding of their own mistakes.
Yeah. But he said perhaps Michael could weigh in on his opinions. So, yeah, we're going to...
I'm going to do that.
Is Luke's relationship with Victor, the East European engine... A commentary on post-Brexit middle-class guilt and complacency.
It's a minefield.
Or just a silly story for children.
I'll tell you what, I've never been... That question has actually really, really made me feel much better about not getting that job. God, thanks, mate. I mean, that is my answer. Because I'm not answering it. It is a fucking minefield. No matter what you say, you'll end up as a racist. Because I'm racist. thanks. That was Charles, was it?
Yeah,
Charles. Oh, cheers, Charles. I really appreciate that.
I think we've got one more listener question.
Okay.
So here we go. This is from my friend Stuart.
Hello,
and,
Stuart.
Because he thinks I won't actually ask it.
Right, I'll bring it.
I want to do it because I know it'll embarrass him that the fact I've brought it up.
Oh,
to
okay,
you.
Good, good.
So
good.
Just, how big's your dick?
Oh, God. I was looking at it today. Not big at all. No. It's not disappointing. It's curious.
Right.
Yeah. I think I've got a curious sized dick.
Hmm.
I think It's the right shape of a dick, I think. I think. I haven't really measured it up against many dicks. Yeah. No. I think it's... you know, I think dicks are like this, aren't they? Some days they look all right. Mine does. I think, that's my dick. And then other dick, I really am.
I think really I've only ever thought...
Old man.
I've never gone.
What? Got a trip over that motherfucker.
Who's this guy?
Yeah. Never. But there's been days when I've been less embarrassed of my penis than others. And then today, listen, Stuart, if you really want to fucking know, I had a long, hard look at my penis today, and today was one of the days I wasn't feeling good about it, you know. Maybe tomorrow I want to settle down. Maybe tomorrow will be better. I don't know. But hopefully Stuart will come back. If this could be a running...
Yeah, yeah.
And make it about my penis. I don't mind. Like, you can ask, you know, the next person you get, you know, how big is Michael Legg's penis. I don't mind. But what I want is always Stuart to write in and to ask the question, but preface the question with how his dick is. Because I think actually, do you know what? Men don't talk about their bits enough, and I think this will be a nice open conversation, really mature, and maybe we can get rid of the whole stigma of, yeah, big dicks are best, when just actually having a dick is a worry in itself, and we actually maybe need to face that. Maybe we all need to face my dick.
Oh, wow. What a big statement. That's nice.
Yeah, it's a big statement. Yes, I know. The statement's fucking big. I mean, this is the most important part.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't swap my dick for another dick.
Yeah.
Because, especially now, me and my dick have had adventures. You know, we've bonded.
It's also a complicated conversation to have. Like, well, I've been looking at yours.
Yeah. You using that dick? You know? Do you want this dick? Oh, just put one out. Yeah. Just put it by me here for later.
So last time I asked you my trademark question, okay?
Right.
So it's a question that I think, it's just the best in the world. What do you like? What do you like, okay?
Right.
So I've updated it since we're chatting again.
Yeah, what do I like 2017?
What do you like now?
What do I like now? Well,
last time you said this question, you enjoyed the question.
Oh!
Do you nice work? And then jerk swimming, because you like jerk swimming.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, jerk's no longer with
us.
So. But I mean, I still love her very, very dearly. I think it's really nice. That is something I like. Even now, my dog, Jerk is a dog, by the way.
Yeah.
My dog died over a year ago, and it's really, really nice, like, doing gigs, because you don't see comics for so long. Like, you might not see them for, like, you know, years, really. And even now, like, you know, when you go backstage at a gig, people always say, just go, oh, I'm really sorry to hear about Jerk. And it's really weird how that online world sort of all of a sudden... when your dog or who knows, maybe another loved one dies, it's really weird how different people saw the whole thing differently, and all of a sudden you just go, it's weird how in a way my adorable little angel had a whole different life to different people. And that's just so there you go. That was actually a bit more serious than perhaps we thought. But yeah, that is what I like.
Yeah,
is absolutely what I like.
And finally, just at the end of this chat, anything you'd like to get off your chest or anything at the end of this chat?
It's
been a lovely time.
I mean, we could be here all day, couldn't we? I'd be great if people could just shut up. Right. Just shut up.
Yeah.
Every single person is boring and they're stupid. So I'm just better off shutting up.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for listening, and I thank you for having me.
No worries. Thank you very much for being on the podcast.
No problem at all.
Shut the hell up.
Bye.
That was my second chat with Michael Legg. Thanks so much to Michael for joining me on the podcast again. If you want to keep up to date with what he is up to, you can find him at Michael Legg on Twitter. And he also writes a very funny blog that you can find on Blogspot. And then I think it's also on Facebook as well. And maybe even some other places. I believe he reads them out on SoundCloud. It's a podcast as well. So yeah, you can find that blog in many different places. It is very enjoyable. But yeah, in the last episode, I said in this one, I talk a bit about an improv course I've been doing and say what I've been enjoying about it. There's not much else I was going to say about it, just other than the fact I am having a lovely time and I recommend you all do an improv course if you want to. I don't really know who you are. But finally, I've just got to let you in on some big news. And I know earlier I said I had some big news and it was about a hat and then you were maybe very disappointed, but this time I think it's actually bigger news. It's bigger than a new hat, I'd say, definitely. But the next episode that comes out of this podcast is a chance for you first, and it is a guest that this will be their third appearance. No guest has appeared three times before, and that guest is James Acaster. And I have obviously stuck to the Die Hard sequel titling scheme, and that one will be called James Acaster 3, James Acaster with a Vengeance. But yeah, I hope you have a nice time in your lives until then. And if you don't come back for that episode, I hope you have a nice time in your lives forever. If you like this podcast, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Chats4You. And it'd be great if you could also leave a glowing 5-star review on the iTunes store. That'd be good as well. Nothing less than glowing though, just the glowing ones. You can also follow it via iTunes and your RSS feed via subscribing to it. But you probably knew that already. I don't need to tell you about. You probably knew subscribing to a podcast was a thing, and you'd quite like it if people stopped asking you to do it, because you're your own person and you can make your own choices. Isn't that right? Yeah, I'm on your side, guys. But still, please subscribe. That's all I have. Bye.